Welcome back for another episode of the Jewish News Podcast. They are here with Rabbi Meir Schiller. Rabbi Schiller is a legendary Rebbe, one who's involved in many different aspects and sects of Judaism. Rabbi Schiller is also a legend in the Yeshiva Hockey League and someone who's knowledgeable and perhaps an expert in almost every area of the world in general. Rabbi Schiller, welcome to the show. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, very fine. Thank you very much, Akiva. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining. You know, I was thinking, you know, Rebbe, you've lived such an amazing life, and I think the only way to have a chance to maybe get a good glimpse of all of it is to start in the beginning. But Rebbe could tell us, you know, what was Rebbe's childhood like, and then I think Rebbe became a Baal Teshuva, but how did that come to be?
Right. I was part of the post-World War II baby boomer generation. And the distinctly Jewish part of it, I was born in Brooklyn. Everybody in my family lived in Brooklyn. They were Brooklyn Jews, but at that point in history, very few Brooklyn Jews were still Orthodox, although they were defiantly Jewish, very strongly attached to their Jewish identity. But there was not much in the way of Orthodox practice, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Hanukkah, and that was about it. We moved to Queens when I was in the middle of kindergarten, which I believe was 1956. And there I went to public school, PS 206 in Rego Park. And at that time, my parents sent me to the Rego Park Jewish Center for Hebrew school. But the Rego Park Jewish Center was a school you had to go to 4 days a week plus Sunday morning. So I told my mother in no uncertain terms in second grade, this is way over the top. And although she tried to bribe me with many packs of Topps football cards for that season, I resisted the temptation, and she went out and found a Reform Hebrew school, which I had to go to only once a week. So that was my Jewish upbringing. We moved to Rockland County in September of 1963, and I saw for the first time large numbers of Orthodox Jews. We lived in Pomona, so occasionally we drive through Muncie, parts of Spring Valley, which were still Orthodox then. And this caused me to think about my Jewish identity. I had wrestled with it a bit earlier, but this really brought the issue to the table. And in early 1964, somewhere around April of 64, I convinced two of my friends to become Orthodox for a month as an experiment. We studied Jewish texts, we practiced as much as we knew of halacha, and we visited the village of New Square. I there first saw the Square of Rebbe Zichron Livracha. I met the famous star of screen and theater, Stephen Hill. And from that point on, when the month was over, I was pretty much in.
Wow, and now what was it like those early days in yeshiva? You know, how the whole culture is very different. So what was that like in terms of the adjustment and the experience?
Right. Well, my mother insisted that I stay in public school for eighth grade after my bar mitzvah, which was in June of 1964. So I stayed in public school and I practiced orthodoxy within public school confines throughout that entire school year of, 64 to 65. And finally, in September of 65, through the help of the Square Hasidim, I went off to yeshiva, to Breuer's, Yeshiva's Rabbi Samson Phil Hirsch in Washington Heights, because my parents wanted me to go to a yeshiva which had New York State accreditation. And so I went to yeshiva September of 65. It was, very difficult academically in terms of the learning, because my background was somewhat limited, but I put my nose to the grindstone, and with the help of a Sansino Gemara and a Rosenbaum Silverman Chumash, I was able to get to grade level.
And Rebbe mentioned that it was difficult at the start, you know, using these with the help. But you know, nowadays, you know, Rebbe's taught Ian Shear for decades and taught Chumash be Ian, Gemara be Ian. How did Rebbe become so knowledgeable in these fields? Is it more of a hard work thing, or is there other aspects? And then it's not just Jewish subjects, but subjects of science and history and other things. So how did Rebbe do it, and how does Rebbe recommend other people try to replicate that?
Right. Well, as far as Limud HaTorah goes, I'd say I had very fine rebbeim, and I had a very strong will to achieve. And both these things helped me along. Just to give a humorous anecdote here, you know, amongst Hasidim, the learning of Or HaChaim HaKadosh on Chumash is very, very chashuv. So I used to run around Breuer's accosting rebbeim to learn with me another different piece of Or HaChaim, and I, you know, got them all fairly sick of seeing me approaching them. But as the week went on, I'd go from one to the other, and I would, you know, learn through Or HaChaim HaKadosh to whatever was Shlishi, Revi, whatever was every week, by accosting the rebbeim. And in 10th grade, I had a rebbe, Rabbi Shlomo Danziger, and he's still alive, Mishmi Marach Yomim, who introduced us to Chumash Rashi, Be'iyun, and Ramban, with great dikonis and Ramban. So they helped me out in terms of Chumash. And as far as Gemara goes, I just, I would take a Gemara with vowels and practice it and read it over again and make charts and diagrams for myself. So, you know, there was a lot of enthusiasm on my part. And as far as secular studies go, I never neglected my interests, largely political, cultural, what we call the liberal arts. I always read very extensively in liberal arts. To me, the greatest place my mother could take me as a child was to the library. That was the most fun trip, was to go to the library and take books out. Although my mother would mock me in later years that when I began to buy books, she would say, "My son, the millionaire, why can't you go to the library?" And the library, of course, you could order anything through interlibrary loan. I don't know if you still can, but in those days you could. So you get really any books. So I think my mother had the right perspective from a frugality insight.
And I think as Rebbe progressed, he I think one of Rebbe's the most notable chavrusas is now the Av Beis Din in Skverizitz. You know, what was that like? And then also, assuming that's right, what caused Rebbe to not become a Kol-Av Beis Din in Skver and kind of move on to teaching in what's now known as MTA?
Well, the chavrus you're referring to is Remechel Steinmetz, who is a big posik in Baruch Park. He's the Rav of the Skver of Beis Medrash, one of the several Skver Batim Darshu in Baruch Park. Remechel Steinmetz, a chavrus of mine, and also learned with several other people who you know, went on to Rabbanus and so forth in Skver. But I always wanted to do something in terms of chinuch, in terms of being mashpia. So I wanted to be a Rebbe with the Gemara, but also wanted to be mashpia on young people and accomplish something with them in terms of their own Yiddishkeit. So therefore, I set out to try and find a job in non-Orthodox circles. And after one or two unsuccessful visits, I came to the Yeshiva High School of Queens under Rabbi David Cohn. He was the Menahel there, Oliver Shalom. And I gave a prospective lesson, and he hired me and was off to YHSQ, as it was called, in September of 1977. Quite a schlep from Muncie, but from the time I became frum, from the time I was 12 and a half, the only thing I ever wanted to be was a Rebbe on the high school level in Yeshiva or Beis Medrash level, but something with Gemara. And, you know, thank God, by the grace of the Almighty, I was able to achieve it. And started out in YHSQ, as I say, 1977.
And, you know, jumping a lot of years to the end of Rebbe's career as a Rebbe, but looking back at all those years, is there a particular moment that, well, what's Rebbe's proudest moment as a Rebbe?
You know, I'm going to answer you, but when I give this answer, people laugh because they think I'm making a joke. So I have to preface this by saying it's not a joke. My proudest moment and happiest moment always was in June, because the emotional force of the end of the year, of saying goodbye to another shir and assessing what we had accomplished, it was that coming together, I think, of the emotional linkage together with a sense of accomplishment and finality. So I'd say that the proudest moment was always in June, and the many wonderful talmidim over the years, you know, hard to single out anybody, but so many, I mean, hundreds really that I became close with, and thousands that I was very happy to have had.
Wow. And, you know, Rebbe mentioned he wants to become an educator, and reflecting on the years was definitely a highlight. But I'm curious, you know, Rebbe's been through at least a dozen institutions as a teacher or a Talmud, and he's been surrounded by tens if not hundreds of educators in different places. Is there a particular method or thing that a specific person or Rebbe did that Rebbe found had a high percentage hit rate of success?
Right. That's a great question. I'd say three influences primarily. Again, I go back to 10th grade to Rabbi Danziger, who spent so much time preparing both the Chumash B'Iyun as well as the Gemara. So he was a model of care about what he was going to say. I'd say Rav Moshe Green in Skver, who was the Rosh Hashiva there, who was a very strict disciplinarian. I'd say he was the second influence, that you can't let people get away with nonsense. And I'd add to that extensive readings about many great football and hockey coaches and soccer coaches over the years. And the third influence I'd say would be my mother. And I know that sounds curious, but my mother was so loving and so attentive and so validating of my interest in my person. So I think I tried to combine serious preparation with disciplinary demands, with a sense of attentiveness, friendship, humor. And I might say, if I was a not such a Anglo-Saxon reserved person, I might say love, but that sounds too pretentious for one who likes an Anglophile such as myself.
So moving on, you know, Rebbe, while as a Rebbe, had a strong affiliation with the Yeshiva Hockey League and sports in general. So I'm kind of curious, you know, how did Rebbe develop a connection to sports? How did it stay through Rebbe's years in Yeshiva, and what was it like?
Well, as a child, both my father and my stepfather were great sports fans. Thankfully, by an act of divine mercy, my stepfather was a professional football fan, and my real father was a college football fan. So weekends, you know, Saturday we went to a college football game with my father, and Sunday I went like the Giants or some pro football game. And they were great football fans at a time when baseball was the major sport in America. So yeah, we go to baseball games, but thank God they gave me football, and I developed a great love of you know, all the three sports of football, hockey, baseball, basketball a little less, but a great love for all the sports. And I had a grandfather who from Europe had a great love of soccer. So he was a season ticket holder for the International Soccer League. They played here in New York in the Polo Grounds around Ellis Island. So I picked up soccer also. So that's where I got it from. And as in everything else, I was an extensive reader, and everything in the library that you could possibly pick up about any of the major sports I took and I read. So, you know, the great love for it all, I can't escape that love. It just strikes me as such a, at least me, it strikes me as such a wondrous thing. And then later on, I went off to yeshiva. So, you know, there wasn't quite so much time for it, but eventually when I got to Yeshiva High School of Queens, I sought to transfer that love to Talmidim, and went to the basketball games of the YHSQ team. And eventually, when the Yeshiva League was founded in 1979, so some of the boys who went to YHSQ had friends who went to Ramaz. And Ramaz was one of the founding teams, the original five founding teams of the Yeshiva League. So Ramaz contacted me and offered me the job as coach. And I went to coach in Ramaz in 1979, coached Ramaz for 2 years. Coached MTA for 3 years in the mid 80s, and then came back finally in the 90s and coached at MTA for six more years. So I was the commissioner of the league in the second year of its existence. I was commissioner again in the 90s and wrote the rule book of the league. And it's really amazing where it is today compared to what it once was. We had five schools that first year, you know, no helmets, many players without gloves, and to see where it's up to today is really amazing.
And as a coach, Rebbe won many championships in a row, and I think Rebbe might have won more championships then than anybody has now, or almost anybody has now. You know, for coaches out there, or players out there, or people in general, you know, what is it that makes a successful team in terms of practice and mentality, and how does one execute that for modern sports and modern endeavors in general?
Discipline demands and love. I'm going to say the same three things that I said as far as the classroom goes. That I always wanted it to be a real team, and I wanted it to be, again, words like family are pretentious, but I wanted it to be something like that. There was a, you know, I remember the Pittsburgh Pirates, whenever this was in 1980 or so, used Sister Sledge's disco hit We Are Family as their theme song. So that was sort of what I was aiming for. Not necessarily Sister Sledge, but that notion. And so whether we won or lost, it was just wonderful, really. I always say that I coached in order to give and receive love. And no, thank God, I think we had it.
Wow, and so we mentioned earlier Rebbe's vast and deep knowledge in the Jewish text. You know, when it comes to secular works as well, I've seen Rebbe write into Torah publications over the incorrect facts regarding species of clownfish in number and other such things. You know, how is it that Rebbe developed this? And you kind of spoke about that, but I'm more curious in terms of classic works and non-classic works and history books. You know, what books is it that Rebbe recommends people pull off the shelf when they find a topic they're interested in and really want to figure out the roots of it?
Well, I'm not the address if they want to know about math, but otherwise, even when it comes to goals against, I struggle. You know, you got to divide the minutes by 60. And oh gosh, but you know, math is not my forte. I think in every field it's different, so it's hard to give an overall rule. But you know, to follow the primary sources, to try and get to the primary sources, and follow your own heart. I mean, I remember when I first got my first red-eared turtle for a pet, and I think they're illegal now. I'm supposed to have some disease red-eared turtles. My goodness, I'm vague. But anyway, I my first red-eared turtle, and my mother took me to the library, and that was it. You know, any book in that library about red-eared turtles or amphibians in general, we took out of the library. And going to a pet shop always meant not just buying the pet, but if I was buying guppies, you know, I had to get the book about guppies, or buying mollies, you get the book about mollies. So it was always, I always felt that the interest would be so much enriched and deepened and so much more capable of capturing your heart and soul if you pursued knowledge in that area, that knowledge is an enabler of affection. But if you want specific areas, I can do specific areas with you if you want, but that's a general rule.
What's one sect of Judaism Rebbe wish he could strengthen his ties with?
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Can I give you two?
Sure.
All right. I'd say I'd like to get to know better the very chardal world in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the habrachas, the har hamors, the very from chardal world in Eretz Yisrael that simply by circumstance I don't come in contact with them so much. You know, Shavei Chevra and those places. So I think that's one area, one segment of Jewry. And the second area I'd say was anybody who is a real Talmud of Rabban Lichtenstein. I think I'd like to spend more time with them because in many ways, I think his worldview is an important one.
Interesting. What's the least known thing about Rebbe that Rebbe wishes people knew about?
Wishes they knew about me. There could be some things I don't wish they would know about me. But you want things that I wish they would know about me. Because there are a couple of things I might not wish they know about me. Let's see here. It's very important to me to make everybody feel included and not to hurt people in the context of groups or individuals. I'm always trying to figure out what the other person is about and to try to be nice to them in the context of their person.
Oh, to conclude the podcast, every episode, regardless of the guest, we ask the guest the same question. And for Rebbe, you know, Rebbe's been asked dozens of questions, maybe a day, by Talmidim during Shir, after Shir, over the phone or in person. Rebbe's met at meetings and other places. Rebbe's been all over the knowledgeable field in terms of all sections of the library and everything else. But even though Rebbe's constantly being asked questions and in conversation, there's always questions that people are not asked. So I'm curious, reflecting back on all the championships and years of successful years of teaching and years in the yeshiva and everything else, is there one question Rebbe's never been asked that he wish he has been asked, and what would the answer be to that question?
Wow. Again, I suspect that I have been asked this in some form, but I would, if I had me as a Rebbe, I'd want to ask two things. I'd want to ask, what do I do with dark nights of the soul, to use St. John of the Cross's phrase? In other words, those moments when human suffering, scholarly critiques, moral critiques of Emuna, you know, how do I navigate those moments when those events and critiques seem daunting? That's what I would ask me if I had me as a Rebbe. What I would answer? I would say that there is a source of faith within the human soul, both Jewish and non-Jewish, which we can access and plug into, which survives the buffetings of scholarly, moral, and existential suffering, that we can plug in there, and the human being can achieve that. So that would be the answer I would give when they ask me the question in strong terms. The other question can I do two again? Is that allowed?
I guess, yeah.
The other question which I want to ask me is regrets. You know, what regrets do you have after all, coming towards the end of the story of one's life? What regrets do you have? I think that I would have wanted to spend more time with my kids and grandkids, because I was off in yeshiva the whole day. And so if I had to do it again, I think I'd spend less time with the kiddies and more time with my kiddies if I had to do it again. Otherwise, I would have talked less and listened more, I think, when I was around people from whom there was what to learn. I hope I did it. I have many mentors in life that I look back on and say, whoa. But even when I was around them, I should have shut up more and listened more.
Well, thank you, Rebbe, again, for all the thoughtful answers, the interesting answers, and letting us get a greater glimpse of, or starting to get a glimpse of who Rebbe is, his upbringing, his life, and his thoughts. And we look forward to all of those.
I'm going to interrupt you again at the end of it. I'm sorry. Here's my final interruption. That it seemed very appropriate to me that my final years in Chinuch, final year, was with together with many of your friends, the Talmidim from this past year's 12th grade in MTA, because from the time that you guys were freshies up until the present, many of you helped sustain and nourish me. So I end with a thank you to you and all your friends.
Well, thank you, Rebbe, and we look forward to everything Rebbe has to share with us in the future. And thank you again for joining.
Shkoyach. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this past episode of the Jewish Moves podcast. I really appreciate it. If you want to get updates or ask us questions, make sure to check us out on Twitter at Jews_Schmooze. You can also find us on any podcast platform. Thank you so much again, and hope you're looking forward to the next one.